Genesis chapter 45 in your Bibles this morning. Genesis chapter 45. And let's begin reading in verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now chapter 46, verse 1. And Israel took his journey, that is Jacob, Joseph's daddy, with all that he had, and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." It had been 23 years since they sold him, and he had not seen or heard of them since. I believe he remembered happy days as he was growing, days when he and his dad hunted together, nights under the stars, as Jacob told him of the God of heaven and the promises that were given to his grandpa, Abraham. He and his dad walked together and talked. I believe he remembered the day that his dad had given him the coat of many colors. That coat said, "You're very special to me, Joseph." And now he didn't even know if his daddy was still alive. And I think that hurt him, because every boy wants his dad to be a part of his life. He's not a slave anymore. He's the prime minister of Egypt at her zenith. In one sense, he's the savior of Egypt and all the nations round about. I suspect deep down in his heart, there is a real emptiness because he didn't have his family and hadn't heard of them for 23 years. I think Joseph had scattered pictures of the smiles that he had left behind and wondered if God would ever bring his family together again. And then one day, God did bring them back together. And it is so beautiful. We study it because of the beauty of that family reunion. We study it for the beauty of the family reunion that we will have in heaven. We study it as a means of encouragement to some of us whose families are still apart. First of all, you understand this very, very well. Families are not perfect. Some of you might be thinking, my family is so messed up. We could never be together again. Your family is not as messed up as Joseph's family was. His daddy had 12 boys and one girl by four different women and two wives, two servant girls. Joseph's 10 older brothers were rough and tough and just plain mean at times. All you have to do is look up a boy by the name of Shechem and ask him how they were. When Joseph was young, his mother died giving birth to his little brother Benjamin. Jacob so loved Rachel. And there was something about Joseph that reminded Jacob of Rachel. And he made Joseph his favorite. Those 10 older brothers resented that and hated Joseph. And finally, in frustration, sold him into slavery and took that coat and dipped it in goat's blood and told their daddy that Joseph was dead. I want you to think about that because we're going to come back to it in a little bit. In Egypt, Joseph was bought as a slave by Potiphar, who put him to work among his slaves. And Joseph worked hard and rose through the ranks and became master over Potiphar's house. A beautiful but bored Mrs. Potiphar became enamored with Joseph and tried her best to seduce him, but Joseph refused and wound up in heaven. Please understand, when you choose to do right, the results are not always all that hot. And that's Joseph. He refused and immediately went to prison. He has been there for years when Pharaoh had a dream and no one could interpret it. Then the butler who had been in prison with Joseph remembered that he could interpret dreams. So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he also had a plan about the interpretation. So that day Joseph is promoted to prime minister in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's dreams came true, and Joseph is very, very busy for the next 7 years. Now we are in the famine years, but things are going well for Joseph. He has luxury. He has power, he has prestige, but when he sits on his veranda at night, memories light up the corners of his mind. He remembered his daddy and wondered if he was still alive. He remembered his brothers and wondered if they still hated him. He remembered how they had treated him. And he wondered if they could ever be together again. Second of all, families can be repaired. In this family, a need brought them together. Go with me to Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42 and the first three verses. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. These are 10 rough men, tough men, 60 to 80 years old at this time, wearing their shepherd's garb, humble men. And Joseph is prime minister clean shaven, speaking Egyptian. They didn't know him, but Joseph knew them. And Joseph's heart reached out to them. But Joseph is so smart and led by the Spirit of God. He took it slow to see if his brothers had changed at all. He wanted his family back together. You know what Joseph realized? You need your family. I don't care how much cruel words have been spoken. I don't care how many misunderstandings, how many years of isolated. You need your family. You can't make enough money to take the place of your family. You can't fill your life with enough trinkets to take the place of your family. You can't travel enough and see enough to take the place of your family. You do not want to grow old with your family isolated. You need your family. Heavyweight boxer Evander Holyfield said as he was building a 54,000 square foot house with 30 fireplaces, 11 bedrooms, two-lane bowling alley, sunken Roman bath, 104-acre southern estate just outside of Atlanta with a magnolia tree-lined driveway, horse stables, a man-made lake, walk-in closets the size of garages. And there it is. There's only one problem. He's a divorced father of six children by three women. He said, that house will never be lived in until I locate the right wife. Old Evander has a house, but he doesn't have a home. Need brought this family back together. You need your family. Second of all, God touched their hearts. Joseph was not recognized, so he immediately began probing their hearts to see if they had changed. He spoke roughly to them, accused them of being spies, and he put them in jail. Chapter 42, look at verse 21. And they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother." Joseph is who they're talking about. "In that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." Third, the brothers had changed. They were not jealous of Benjamin when Joseph gives him five times what he gave his other brothers. And then he sent them back toward home. And he will find out, will they desert Benjamin like they deserted me? Chapter 44, let's begin reading in verse 11. "Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his donkey and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, 'What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?' And Judah said, 'What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found.' And he said, 'God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant, and as for you, get you up in peace until your father. They didn't desert Benjamin. Third, will they lie to my daddy? No. This family has changed. Why don't you think that God can change your family? That which has been mean and harsh can be made better. Can't you see? Maybe God has delegated you to put your family back together. Someone has to love them. Someone has to step in and do the positive things. God was at the center of it all in Jacob's family. Why don't you put God at the center of your family? Last of all, families can have reunions. They can have an earthly reunion. Genesis chapter 46. And look at verse 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, his daddy, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck a good while. I can only imagine. Now look at chapter 47 and verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Please understand, this is Joseph's family. They're just country folks. And in before Pharaoh. Socrates said this, sometimes words are stupid things. If you in your life, listen to me, if you in your life could go back to one person who has died and bring them back, who would that be? And what would that reunion be like? Folks, that's what's going on here. It's been 23 years, and now they're back together. Jacob was told that Joseph had been killed, but he's standing there. And can you imagine, sometimes words are just stupid things. And don't you know, after all that time, don't you know the fellowship was sweet? Which reminds me of another reunion that's going to take place, a heavenly reunion. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 13. I'm going to talk about that reunion that's going to take place in the air. We call it the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with all our loved ones, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. For that reunion to take place, you must be born again. You must trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you have heard me say it many, many times. You don't go to heaven because you're good, and you don't go to hell because you're bad. You go to heaven because you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you go to hell because you reject Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's make sure that we're going to heaven and we'll be a part of that wonderful reunion in heaven. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the sweet, sweet story of Joseph and how you brought his family back together. And for Jacob, thinking that his boy had been dead for 23 years, and all of a sudden, he's standing there. And an old daddy just, I can't even imagine the emotions. And for Joseph to see his daddy, knowing that his brothers had changed, knowing that his family would be back together and enjoy all the sweet fellowship and all the sweet stories and all the wonderful memories that had taken place. Oh, Father, thank you for this story, and thank you for the teaching for our hearts this morning. We need our families. We need to have them, especially in our old age, our families with us. So, Father, please speak to our hearts. And if we are the ones that need to do some work in our families to bring our families back together, Father, help us to be willing to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.